This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I wonder what my face would have looked like if I had not been warned ahead of time that a chicken foot was coming out in my soup. But when it did come out in my soup, I was able to say thank you for the treat and for the soup and for the meal. And we were working so hard when we were in Ecuador that I was hungry all the time anyway. So if not for the fact that I'd been warned, maybe my face would have registered a look of surprise. But I ate the soup, just not the foot. One of the locals who was sitting next to me, he was more than happy to start gnawing on the chicken foot.
Might have given it a little kick.
Thing is, it's a foot. It looks like a foot. It's hard to forget that it's a foot. When,
true.
Yeah, it's just
once it sits in your head, once you get that image in your head, that's it.
So, no, I didn't have to have the image. It was right in the soup.
Well, no, yeah, once you see it, that's it. There's no way around it.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good Thursday morning to you. It's October 3rd. We are blasting our way forward into what is the busiest month of the year in sports. I keep repeating it because it is so. Although we will have a break on Friday from Major League Baseball. So Friday's kind of a nice opportunity to reset, unless there's some obscure college football game that you want to watch on Friday. Otherwise, deep breath, launching forward into, yeah, no joke, one of the busiest weekends of the year in sports, because the division series start on Saturday and then Sunday, plus college football and the NFL. And actually, week 5 kicks off in mere hours. So we'll talk about Falcons and Bucks moving forward in NFC South battle. Also, Derwin James is back. And make sure you ask him the question whether or not he plans to change the way that he plays after he just got suspended by the NFL. Stephon Diggs and the Houston Texans, his Houston Texans, will be facing the Buffalo Bills this weekend. That's convenient. And Tyreek Hill talking about the frustration with the Miami Dolphins and their quarterback situation. So there's a lot. We're looking forward to some football stuff. That's the technical term for it, coming up a little later this hour, but firmly focused on these baseball playoffs and the drama. And if you went to bed early, well, if you went to bed because you have to get up early on Thursday morning, you may have missed what happened in San Diego just a few hours ago. Oh yeah, the Padres, they had a record crowd at Petco Park. Somehow they managed to squeeze in about 75 more people than game one. So the crowd was intense and incensed and ready to explode really anything that the Padres could do. And yeah, once again, able to jump on the Braves early. Now, Braves fans may have thought they dodged a bullet, that Max Fried dodged a bullet, because in the first inning, he got out of a bases loaded, nobody out jam. Uh-huh. I mean, that's got to be good, right? Fried typically struggles early on and then settles in. Bases loaded, nobody out, Manny Machado, he strikes out. And then there was a what was it, an infield single that turned into a fielder's choice. They got the out at home. And then there was the third out, also on a ground ball. And there had to be a huge sigh of relief, not just for that Braves fan base, but also for the Braves dugout. But right again, into the second inning, in trouble, Kyle Higashioka hits a solo home run. One more time, bases loaded, and look, here comes Manny Machado again.
Freed, big breath, he delivers. Machado swings, lines it into left field, that's a fair ball. Gonna bounce and roll, all the way to the wall. Arise and Tatis have scored, Profar will be held. Manny into second with a two-run double, and the Padres in front, it's 3-1. Here's the pitch on the way. Merrill swings, sends it in the air to deep center field on a line. Harris is back at the wall. It hits up against the base of the wall. Hops back into play. Both runs will score. Merrill's on his way to third. A two-run triple.
This place is absolutely lit right now. Six consecutive two-out hits, back-to-back extra base hits. Jackson Merrill with a triple. He brings in two runs. It's now a 5-1 ball game.
The calls there with Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr., who was on our show last night, or well, I guess it's the night before now. He was on our show Tuesday night into Wednesday morning on the Padres radio network. Yeah, you have the Manny moment. And this was big. For him to come up in a second consecutive inning with the bases loaded did not bode well for Freed or for the Braves. The fact that they had done this twice and it was so early in the game. And he did not miss the second time. He gets a two-run double. And then Jackson Merrill, who's potentially the NL Rookie of the Year, follows it up with a two-run triple. And even though the Braves finally got a huge hit from Michael Harris, a two-run homer in the eighth inning, and made it a little bit tighter, I mean, they did put some pressure on the Padres because they were just one run down at that point. Those 47,705 fans at Petco Park were not going to allow any other outcome.
47,705 on their feet. Darno swings at the first pitch, pops it up, foul ground, first base. Up the line, Higashioka makes the catch, tumbles over Solano. He held on, the game is over, and it's on to Los Angeles. The Padres have swept the Atlanta Braves in the wild card series, and they will play game one of the NLDS at Dodger Stadium on Saturday night.
Guys, finished the wildcard round. See you guys in LA. Game one and game two, then back to here to the best city in the world. Let's go.
That's the voice of one Manny Machado. I also saw some stuff on social after he had lost his shirt in their clubhouse celebration that he was freezing because of all the alcohol and potentially other beverages that were flying around. He was cold having gone through the celebration. So yeah, Max Fried got into a couple jams, was able to escape the first one, but not the second one. Five runs on six straight hits with two outs in the second inning. So the Padres at that point would not be denied. Now, the Padres have their own challenge with their starting pitcher, Joe Musgrove. He grew up in San Diego. This is such a cool story for him. But he actually ended up leaving the game early. So we don't know a whole lot about his status, only that he was not able to go the distance. And of course, he's had some different injury issues, elbow inflammation this season. So that's got to be a concern as the Padres move on to play the Dodgers. But for now, wild celebration. And by the time Mike Schilt got to the post-game press conference, he was much more subdued. But you should see the video from inside their clubhouse.
Good series, you know, short and sweet. Obviously feel good about it. We piggybacked off of King's seven innings yesterday was really big, you know, because it set us up for today with our bullpen. And, you know, fortunately we had the lead. Of course, Joe, even in the two outs in the fourth was, you know, a challenge, you know, but, you know, winners find solutions, and the bullpen was rested and, you know, did their part to bring it home. So very satisfying win, and we're looking forward to moving forward to L.A.
Oh, speaking of L.A., there is no intimidation factor there. The Padres actually have a big edge in their head-to-head in 2024. And the last time they played in the postseason was just 2 years ago. That was a Dodgers team that won 111 games. A Dodgers team that was much more of a big bat and expected to get to the World Series. And the Padres, it was a great division series, and the Padres were able to advance. And so that gives them some confidence as well. A lot of the same guys, not all of them, not Jackson Merrill, who's experiencing this for the first time as a rookie.
I think I was watching it a little too much. I probably should have ran a little harder out of the box. But no, it was tough AB. You know, Max is unreal, and he's a really good pitcher, been a good pitcher for a while. And, you know, he threw some good pitches to me, but he left that one over the plate, and I just didn't want to miss it.
Merrill talking about that big triple. And boy, has he come through in some huge moments for the Padres this year. Yeah, he's about to go into this first playoff series with the Dodgers. And, of course, understands the rivalry between the two and how the Padres are constantly swimming upstream trying to get the same attention, trying to get where the Dodgers have been, not spending quite as much money. But, yeah, playing second fiddle to this team in the NL West for now a decade plus. But it could be all different in 24.
It's going to be unreal. I know it. I know it's going to be loud. It's going to be energetic, you know. It'll be cool kind of playing in a away stadium for the first time in the playoffs. You know, I think it'll take a second to kind of take it in, just like I had to take it in here. But, you know, we're going to play our game. We're going to play our Padres baseball. We're going to go at them. So, you know, I just want our guys to be ready and trust in each other.
Brian Snitker, he's ready for 2025 to get started. So he is returning as manager. In his post-game comments, he talked about wishing that spring training was tomorrow. But what will he take away from the 24 season?
Just the tenacity, the drive, the consistency, the work ethic, how they never, you know, everything that these guys went through, nobody was ever woes me. They weren't griping about anything. They just kept playing. They kept playing. They kept working. The energy never waned. Their attitudes never waned. It was, you know, I just talked to them too. I'm about as proud of a team as I've ever had, quite honestly, with how they handled everything.
They overcame a ton of injuries just to get to the playoffs. Remember, it took the very last game, that doubleheader on Monday between the Mets and the Braves. They lost the first half, had to win the second half just to earn the wild card and get to San Diego. Maybe running out of gas. That's certainly understandable. But I was thinking about this earlier. This team, so good. They've dealt with a major injury to at least one critical piece each of these last few years, and this year was much more of an onslaught when it came to the injuries. But I wonder when Braves fans start to think, this feels too familiar, going back to the 90s when, I'm using my air quotations, they only won the single World Series in the 90s, right? In 95, they had all those Hall of Fame pitchers and such an incredible lineup, and yet managed just the one World Series. There are many franchises out there that would trade for the one World Series and to be relevant every year. The Dodgers are in that same space right now. They spent so much money. They've put together an incredible lineup year after year, but they seem to have a fatal flaw, or they run into a hotter team. And it could very well be the case again in 24 for the Dodgers, although Ohtani makes a huge difference. Back to the Braves, in their recent playoffs now, of course, they won the title in 21, but they're 2-8 in their last 10 postseason games. Are they, because of the injuries and just running into hotter teams, I don't want to say the word wasting as in I believe they're wasting the talent, but is this the opinion of fans, or is this the opinion around baseball? Is they're wasting these opportunities? Games, teams that have won more than 100 games, they've got these NL East titles, and yet, right now, the one World Series in this stretch. Just want to reiterate, there are many franchises out there that would take that one World Series and run like the wind and be happy with it. However, for the Braves, they've been relevant, they've been on top of that division, they've been fighting for yet another opportunity, and at this point, it's 21. So another early exit for them. 855-212-4227. I do love that Manny got his moment in the second inning with the bases loaded, and we'll see what happens moving forward. The other National League series, wild card series, the only one that will go to a game three. So we will have one more in Milwaukee coming up tonight. And we're talking about Jackie Merrill, who's a rookie and has just had this awesome 2024 campaign. Well, hey, there's another Jackson that wears a Brewers uniform. He's not even old enough to legally drink in the United States.
Fly ball right field. Hit a ton. We're tied. Jackson Chourio, his first postseason home run, ties this game in the bottom of the first. One and one on Jackson Chourio, homered in the first. The pitch. Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Chourio.
He's 20 years old. He's Venezuelan. I do believe you've probably heard the story whenever they do a big celebration. So locking up first a playoff spot and then the division title, right? Whenever the Brewers celebrate, they have to have special non-alcoholic beverages. Now, whether or not he actually sticks to those, whether or not behind closed doors they don't allow him to have alcohol, I don't know. Maybe it's like a family thing. When you're in your own home, well, you can do what you want with your kids. But at least in public, Jackson Chourio has to have his own set of non-alcoholic beverages because he's 20 years old. 20 years old and just hit not one, but two game-tying home runs for the Brewers as they faced elimination against the Mets on Wednesday night. Incredible. And the Brewers weren't done. A three-run eighth inning. Garrett Mitchell belts a home run. Crowd goes crazy. And so the Brewers able to force this game three against the New York Mets. And I just love to hear his teammates like Devin Williams, Willie Adames talk about the young Chourio.
Kid's incredible, you know. There's really not too much to say about it, you know. It's must-see TV every time he comes up to bat, you know, and he's capable of doing that every time.
When you hit a homer in the postseason, that changed the whole energy in the clubhouse, I mean, in the dugout. And you saw it today. I mean, Chourio, unbelievable. Yeah. First inning, we were down 1-0. First at bat, boom, homer. Mm-hmm. I changed the momentum right away. And he was, he's unbelievable, man. That guy's crazy.
He's unbelievable. That guy's crazy. 20-year-old Venezuelan. So, yeah, get to know the names Jackson Chourio and Jackson Merrill. If you haven't been watching them this season, you've been missing out. But never too late. And better late than never. That's how I feel about the Brewers. It was better late than never. They waited until about the last possible second before the bats came alive. As for the Mets, they had opportunities. They were 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. They left 9 runners on base. And Carlos Mendoza's crew, they just couldn't score after the second.
We just didn't get the big hit today. But overall, I thought we played really well. I thought Manaea did a really good job controlling the running game today. Alvarez threw a guy out, so just they got us there.
Are you nervous, Pete? Because considering, like the Tigers, like the Royals, I think some fans would say they're playing with house money because they were out of it. They were down and out of it as recently as a month and a half ago. And so maybe the expectations weren't there, and now it's just a wild ride and you enjoy it as long as it lasts. The Mets were in the same position. However, their rise started earlier than Royals and Tigers. I mean, they started back, oh gosh, I would say June, maybe, when they began their precipitous climb, though they did need until Monday to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it doesn't scare me. I'm not worried. Like you said, it is house money. I had no expectations, like I said, whatsoever for this team. So anything they do is gravy. But they will send us on a ride of stress and pure aggravation until getting to the end point.
Come on, so, you wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, right. It's never going to be easy.
Poor Pete. If he had hair, it would be turning gray. He doesn't.
Look, in the year that they were probably their best in franchise history, they gave you stress with Buckner. So, yeah, so this team is known for that.
Buckner reference.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not totally surprised by it, but I'm not worried.
Now, in the American League, we're just going to let Pete breathe.
Thank you.
Until the game begins. 7 o'clock Eastern time. So 7 o'clock Mets time, 6 o'clock Brewers time. That's when we get the game three. Only one, by the way. So now in this 3 year, could you call it Exhibit A, this 3 year sample size, there only been a couple of series that have gone the distance. So 90% of the time, it's almost like a winner take all game one, because the game one winner advances most of the time. I don't love the 3-game format. I prefer the one and done wild cards. Interesting to have a conversation with Kyle Glazer, who joined us from LA. He works for MLB.com. He's an insider, formerly with Baseball America. Now, I was asking him his opinion of the 3-game format and the wild card, and he was actually saying that he thinks it does a disservice to the top seeds, the ones who have to sit around for nearly a week and wait. And yeah, he's got a point. We'll see whether or not the bats are quiet, whether the big bads, so to speak, have fallen out of rhythm. So he's not sure it's actually fair to the Guardians and the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Phillies to sit around for a week and wait through these wild card series. So those series begin on Saturday, though we do not yet know the Phillies opponent. Part of that conversation, real good stuff. We talked about how the average age of fans who bought tickets to go to games in 2024 is down 5 years. In the last 5 years, Rob Manfred has been forever trying to attract younger fans to baseball. And again, those who bought tickets from 2019 to this current season, it dropped from average age of 51 to 46. Got to tell you, there's no doubt Ohtani is a part of that, a huge part of that, but that's just the last few years. So it's kind of neat to see how baseball is attracting younger fans, and they're excited to go to the games. And that means, of course, that October is lit. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But I do hope that we get more of these winner-take-all games. I prefer the one and done, but at least we're getting one. You either win or you're out. Peace out. Royals and Tigers right now are the bells of the ball, if you will. They're the Cinderellas. And I also asked Kyle about how those two AL Central teams got here. So we'll hear his answer coming up. A-Law Radio, if you want to weigh in. Also, a few of the locker room celebrations or clubhouse celebrations on our show Twix at Amy After Hours on our Facebook page, too. Good morning to you. A little bit of football still ahead at the back of the hour because, yeah, we're kicking off week number 5. It's After Hours with Amy.
4-run eighth inning. Rallied the Tigers against the two best relievers in that Houston Astros bullpen from a 2-1 deficit. Ground ball softly to second. Keith will charge field and flip. Tigers win. They're moving on. They pour out of the dugout and mob each other behind the pitcher's mound. What a moment in Houston.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dan Dickerson with the call on Tigers Radio as they sweep the Astros out of the playoffs. And yeah, Tigers and Royals are two of the great stories of October so far. And we'll see what's to come. The Mets could be part of that as well, considering where they were earlier in the season. They've got a game 3 against the Brewers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The only wild card series to go the distance. Had a chance to talk with Kyle Glazer of MLB.com earlier on the show. He's in Southern California, and I asked him about this Brewers-Mets series and what stands out.
First and foremost is, you know, we've seen both of them come up with some big, big hits and big, big moments. It was the Mets in game one, you know, the tie game, and then Jose Iglesias got it started and they were able to kind of run away with it. And then today in Milwaukee, Jackson Chourio. I mean, these are two teams that, if you look at their talent levels, it is very, very similar. It's distributed different ways. You know, the Brewers certainly have a bit of a better pitching staff, whereas the Mets certainly have a better offensive group. But the sum of the parts is roughly even. And I think it's not a surprise to me that we're seeing this go to three games, the full three. And both teams, I think it's a toss-up who's going to win tomorrow. Again, they're very evenly matched in different ways with different strengths.
We're really excited to spend a few minutes with Kyle Glazer, joining us from Southern California, MLB.com contributor and a former senior writer at Baseball America. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Kyle, let's talk about the AL Central, which is coming in hot, getting through this first round, the wild card series, without needing the extra game. Both the Tigers and the Royals, they've overcome a ton of adversity. How did they get here?
Great pitching, first and foremost. Both these teams have had great pitching, particularly in the second half. You know, you look at the Royals, they very sneakily have had one of the best starting rotations in baseball. Look at Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo. These guys aren't household names, but they're really, really, really good pitchers and have been for a little bit now. They've been able to ride that, and we saw that play out in their opening series. It's going to be an interesting matchup, them versus the Yankees. The Yankees obviously have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, but the rest of their offense has been very, very hot and cold. The Royals pitching versus, you know, whichever version of the Yankees lineup shows up is going to be very interesting to me. And the Tigers, they've had the best ERA in baseball of any team by nearly half a run since August 5th. Their ERA is 2.71 as a team running on 2 months now. So this is a really, really interesting pitching staff, and that they have an ace at the front, and then behind him, they've been having to mix and match and piecemeal together with some bullpen games. But AJ Hinch is a great manager who's been able to do it. They keep their opponents to 1, 2, 3 runs a game and get a few timely hits, and all of a sudden they win a lot of games, 2-1, 3-2, 4-3. That's been the formula. Going up against a Guardians team whose offense is not great, they have a chance to continue holding them down.
I'm glad you bring up A.J. Hinch. I love that wrinkle. As great a run as the Astros had, 7 straight appearances in the ALCS, it seems somewhat fitting that it comes to an end at the hands of an A.J. Hinch team. What type of experience can he bring to the table with these young Tigers?
A.J. Hinch is one of the best managers in baseball. He's one of the brightest minds in baseball and someone that really has the universal respect of everyone in the game. He's been here and done this before. He took a young Astros team, even before that ALCS run. They made the postseason in 2015 when no one expected them to. They were a very young team at the time that kind of came out of their rebuild early, and A.J. Hinch was the one who steered them there and then was able to help get them get to the next level. Obviously, there was some illicit help along the way, which was later found out. But in terms of getting the most from young players, putting them in position to succeed and grow and develop, A.J. Hinch has a long track record of that, and it's not a surprise to see him do the same thing with these Tigers.
You mentioned feeling like the Padres are the team to beat outside of the Phillies. What makes them even more dangerous?
If you look at the Padres and the Phillies both, you have 4 healthy, effective playoff-caliber starters, though now with Musgrove's injury, we have to see if that's still true for the Padres. You have a deep lineup, 1-9 of guys who can hurt you. And you have some bullpen weapons. The Phillies, to me, their lineup, as good as the Padres lineup is, the Phillies is just that much a little bit better. And now, especially with the Musgrove injury, I would give the Phillies rotation the edge as well. And look, the Phillies have accomplished more. They were in the World Series 2 years ago. They were in the NLCS last year and were 1 game away from getting back to the World Series. So I do think the Phillies are the team to beat in this postseason field. But I don't think the gap between them and the Padres is huge. It's very slight margin.
We have not seen the Yankees in the World Series since 2009. As much as people point to them as kind of the gold standard in baseball, it's been a fairly long drought. And offense has been a huge issue for them the last couple years in the postseason. What about this squad tells you it's any different, Kyle?
Well, I'll say this. They're a little more balanced. You know, in previous years, it was just a bunch of right-handed hitters trying to launch all the time. And that's fairly easy to game plan against and beat. This year, they made an intentional decision to try and get more left-handed. They brought in Juan Soto. They brought in Alex Verdugo. They brought in Trent Grisham. We've seen some better approaches at times from some guys. You know, Austin Wells, another left-handed hitter who's come up and done well. So it's a more balanced lineup, which is definitely a benefit. At the same time, you know, we've seen so many of these guys run so hot and cold. You feel good about Judge and Soto to a degree, Wells, but they're going to need Anthony Volpe to step up and be at his best. They're going to need Alex Verdugo to kind of find it again. I mean, they need everyone 1-9. It can't just be two guys and everyone else being a drag on the lineup like it has been at times this year.
What do we need to know about a team that is kind of flying under the radar? Those Guardians.
They have the best bullpen in baseball. And this is a lights-out bullpen, you know, led by Emmanuel Clase, who is one of the more amazing closers we've seen. I let me put it this way. If he was playing in New York, people would be hailing him as Mariano Rivera 2.0.
Wow.
He is truly exceptional, and I don't think people give him the recognition he deserves in terms of just how exceptional he is. You know, the Guardians are tricky. They play good baseball, but we've seen in previous years, they've had this dominant rotation. They don't really have that this year. They've had to piecemeal a little bit. It's more about a good enough rotation, a great bullpen that if they have a lead after five innings, the game's pretty much over. The X factor for them, I think, is Josh Naylor. You know Jose Ramirez is going to hit. You know, in the first half, Josh Naylor was raking, looked like a stud, really tailed off in the second half. The Guardians need that additional offense outside of Jose Ramirez, and I think Josh Naylor, if he provides it, it's going to be a big, big boost to them.
More in that conversation with Kyle Glazer if you're interested in how to fix the White Sox. and we also talk about the Padres and the Dodgers series, but considering this final hour is a lot of our East Coast or Eastern time zone listeners want to make sure you all heard the part of that conversation that more applies to you. I know Detroit sports fans are really excited. I'm seeing people from the Royals fan base posting on our social media. Of course, Orioles fans are disappointed. Guardians fans are psyched. So you've got the opposite ends of the spectrum, right? This should be a lot of fun because we've got some fresh blood. And I do wonder how the teams that have been off for a week will fare once they get back on the diamond. Pitching is so critical, and the pitching moves that are made, they're scrutinized and overanalyzed. And yeah, welcome to October. We're just getting started. At A-Law Radio, 855-212-4227, then our Facebook page too. Now, coming up, we're about to kick off week 5 in the NFL. Stop it. How does it happen so fast? It's the weeks go by in a blur, Pete, and then you wake up and it's Thanksgiving. That's what happens.
We're in October. That's the first milestone.
Yeah, it's not so. But October is so busy. The whole month really goes by in a blur that by the time you kind of come up for air, you realize, whoa, we're 3 weeks from Thanksgiving. And you'll start to see Christmas decorations at the store within weeks. Just wait. If it hasn't happened already.
Yeah.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Manny Rodriguez.
Infinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, postseason baseball rolls on. And from Kenosha to Menominee, it was an eighth inning to remember in Wisconsin.
Adames, the runner at first, the pitch. Swing and a fly ball, right center field. It is up, it is gone! Off the top of the wall and out of here!
Jeff Levering, Brewers Radio. After Jackson Chourillo tied the game four batters earlier, Garrett Mitchell deposited a two-run blast over the right center field wall to extend their season. The Brewers come back and beat the Mets 5-3. A winner-take-all Game 3 is scheduled for tonight, 6:08 Central Time from Milwaukee. Andy Ibanez's bases-clearing double silences the crowd in Houston. And for the first time in 11 years, the Detroit Tigers have won a postseason series. They beat the Astros 5-2, completing a shocking sweep. This sets up an AL Central battle in the ALDS between the Tigers and the Guardians. For the first time in 7 years, the Astros will not appear in the ALCS. Now to Camden Yards.
The 1-1. Junior, it's a ground ball up the middle, and that is going to be a diving play by Arias. Throw to first, and a bounce is late. And Bobby Witt Jr. reaches with an infield single.
Royals Radio Network. Who else? Bobby Witt Jr.'s hustle play in the sixth is the difference in a pitcher's duel. Royals win 2-1. They sweep the Orioles. The Royals will now battle the Yankees in the ALDS. These two teams met up four times in October to close the 70s. Finally, the Padres outlast the Braves 5-4. Max Fried, 2 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs, all earned. Joe Musgrove for the Padres, he was removed from the game in the fourth with right elbow tightness. To the NFL, Dolphins pass rusher Jalen Phillips has a partially torn ACL. The injury will sideline him for the rest of the campaign. It's the second straight year Phillips' season ends early due to injury. I'm Manny Rodriguez.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Just one rushing touchdown. Tried to throw one to Mike Evans again. Buccaneers on the season 0-2 on fourth down. Need a yard and a half. Mayfield, shotgun look, hands the ball, keeps the ball himself, dives. He's got a Tampa Bay touchdown. We have two rushing touchdowns, and number six has both of them. Mayfield with a designed quarterback keeper.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Don't look now, but we're about to kick off week 5 in the NFL, and that puts the Bucs on the road at the Falcons, two teams with a lot of familiarity, and we know familiarity breeds contempt. Coming from the NFC South, which has got some interesting wrinkles so far in this season, the Bucs are back up on top now at 3-1. Falcons and Saints are both 2-2. Panthers have a win. They're at 1-3. Andy Dalton is their quarterback. Period. Full stop. So the Buccaneers, they've got a Baker Mayfield that's flying around like he normally does with his hair on fire and headbutts offensive linemen without a helmet and all that jazz. He's pretty crazy. Todd Bowles loves his warrior mentality, and he's got a good connection with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and the offense around him. So like where the Bucs are, and I think it's clear, you talk to other people around the league or you hear from other players, Baker Mayfield has grown. Going back to his days in Cleveland, of course, that experience with Carolina, he joined the Rams for a couple of months and then found this job and this gig in Tampa. And people look at him and talk about him as though he's a completely different guy. And yeah, he likes the identity of the Bucs through these first four games.
We started fast and we were physical, and that's the identity we need to be playing with, is the physical mentality up front and playing a receiver, blocking, running backs running really hard, and just finishing every single play.
Now, Raheem Morris, if you remember, was with the Rams when Baker Mayfield was there just to kind of keep the seat warm and play out the string when Matthew Stafford was hurt a couple of years ago, and he also speaks really highly of Baker.
I got so much respect for Baker from when we got him in L.A., and he got a chance to come out there and really revitalize what he had lost a little bit, and we got a chance to see the energy and the passion that he plays with, and I think Baker's going to do whatever it takes to try to win that football game. And right now, he's found a nice formula of getting the ball out of his hands, keeping the completions up. He's got some really good wideouts that he can get the ball to that can catch and run, and that's just a little bit of formula going with also some backs out there.
He brings the energy every single day, and you know, he tries to instill the confidence within his own guys and to allow them to be, you know, the best they can be. And so he's a fun guy to play for and be around, and yeah, I understand why these guys enjoy playing for him. You can see it on tape.
a mutual admiration society. Raheem Morris praising Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield praising the now new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And there's more. Jesse Bates on that Falcons defense, he actually points to the Browns and says that's the reason why Baker didn't get into this type of a rhythm and flow and stay there, or why we didn't see this Baker going back to the early parts of his career. Though, I'd maintain his rookie season. He set a record at the time for touchdown passes for a rookie QB. But he also points to that time with Sean McVay and the Rams as a reset for Baker's career.
Just a really good quarterback. You know, a lot of his situations in Cleveland didn't help him. But I just always thought highly of him. I always thought that he was a gamer. He's a Heisman winner for a reason. You know, Sean McVay and those guys, they kind of got him back on track and, you know, went to the Bucs, and he's done a really good job, you know, getting those guys to playoffs and, you know, eliminating, you know, turnovers and stuff like that, and getting the ball to Mike Evans.
That's always a good plan. Get the ball to Mike Evans. That'll work. And remember, Jesse Bates was with the Bengals before AFC North connection there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Todd Bowles, he's not really the raving type like Raheem Morris, but he knows they've got their handfuls. You know, it's the end of a show, fourth hour, fourth night. Kirk Cousins. He's talking about Kirk Cousins, okay?
He's a good football player. We played him last year in Minnesota. I mean, we've had our chances to play him a few times, but he's in a different offense this time. He's got a lot more weapons than he had than just Jefferson and a couple guys in Minnesota, and he knows how to play the game. He runs the offense well. He knows where to go with the ball and how to get rid of the ball, so he presents a great challenge.
It's exciting!
Okay, truth be told, that's really the reason why we ever use Todd Bowles audio, just so we can drop in the other Todd Bowles. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Who are you? And what have you done with the deadpan Todd Bowles? I mean, he made people laugh, for heaven's sakes. It almost sounds like a laugh track. It's not. It's actual press. We'll laugh at anything. To be honest, we're trying to get good quotes and stuff out of players and coaches and managers. So, yeah, we tend to laugh on command because we feel like it makes us look better. Oh, and one more thing. This is kind of cool for those. Stop it. For those of you who are big Matt Ryan fans, and you know who you are, he is getting inducted into the Falcons Ring of Honor. And so we're not just raving about Baker, Grady Jarrett, we're raving about him.
I've watched Matt Ryan run the Falcons. You know what I'm saying? There for me to play with him for years and then go to the Super Bowl with him, see him win MVP, you know, be able to develop a relationship with him outside of football and, you know, watch him, you know, family grow, stuff like that. I just truly admire, and I'm grateful that I got to spend time with him.
I like it. It's when you put aside everything negative that you ever believed or thought or conceived about a person, when they go in the Ring of Honor, it's all love, baby. It's all love. So yeah, looking forward to Bucks and Falcons tonight. And if you're working on your remote thumb there, the good news is that baseball starts an hour and 20 minutes earlier. The problem, Pete, and this is an issue, is that it's Amazon Prime. By the way, the numbers are way up. Dallas and New York last week, largest audience for any Prime broadcast that, you know, we've seen to this point.
It's working.
No doubt. But the issue, again, is that when you're watching something on streaming, it's really hard to back out of your streaming app and get to live TV. And so it's annoying as crap. I'll just be honest. When I have to watch more than one game, and that happens frequently in the fall, I put Amazon on my laptop and I watch something else on TV, just because it's really difficult to back in and out of a streaming app.
I'm waiting for the guy that brings out that TV that can do multiple streams.
So like a split screen with multiple streams? Yep. Interesting. Wouldn't you have to have two different sources of internet, though?
Well, I'm sure someone's coming up with the splitter that can lead to that paradise.
I like it. We're not quite into our week 5 preview, but man, I'm looking forward to Stephon Diggs in the Texans offense with C.J. Stroud against the Buffalo Bills. Why not? And, of course, he's going to take the high road about his time in Buffalo.
Since I took step foot in that building, we had some good years. We had a real good run. Played at a very high level. Built the bond with a good group of guys. So something I'll never forget.
What do you think? Could that potentially be the after hours game of the week? I know we have Ravens and Bengals this weekend, and we've got a Joe Burrow who's talking about he has to play the best he's ever played.
You got to be aggressive out the gate. You can't let the game come to you because your possessions are going to be so limited. I'm going to have to play damn near perfect. That's how I'm preparing. So it's an exciting opportunity. It's our first divisional opponent. We're 1-3. We need to get this one. And it's a big game for the Bengals.
Strong words for Joe Burrow. He's usually pretty comatose when it comes to press conferences. Got to be damn near perfect. I mean, that's passionate for Joe in a press conference. So we do have Ravens and Bengals, Pete. We also have Buffalo at Houston. Now, it'd be different if it was Stephon Diggs going back to Western New York. I think there might be a little more fire there. But no doubt he and the Texans want to prove to the Bills that they should never have let him get away.
Yeah, that's definitely a game.
That's the game, you say?
That's the game that interests me, at least. Yeah. Mm. That's one of those games.
Not Dallas and Pittsburgh?
I can't see anything with Dallas right now. They annoy me.
Oh, okay. Don't let your Giants fandom get in the way there.
Well, I'm a Jet fan.
Okay. Jets and Vikings this weekend. It could not have been a more miserable game for the Jets last week. No touchdowns. A loss to the Broncos in the pouring down rain. It's terrific. All the talk about cadence this week. Do you know what you don't talk about after a win? Whether or not the cadence needs to be changed. The quarterback's calls and the cadence. Stop it.
I'll tell you what needs to be changed. It's not the cadence. It's the guy that's calling the plays.
Okay, well, it's only week 4. Let's not be dropping the hammer yet. This portion of the show was brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage. No medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, coming up tonight, Game 3, Week 5, our show. Let's go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh.
Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.